Thank you, Lord, that you are magnified and you are enthroned above all things. And that, Lord, when the weather is so beautiful, the sun is shining and we see the greenery starting to come out on the trees and the beauty of creation all around us, it's just a poor reflection of your beauty, Lord, and your glory. And we are here to magnify and praise you this morning. Thank you. Amen. So I've been thinking about during Lent about the people that Jesus spent time with on his journey towards the cross, and at the point we're looking at now, we know that he's set his face to Jerusalem, and he knows that he is going to his death. But the disciples haven't quite grasped it yet, and there are still people who haven't quite grasped who Jesus is. And in John's Gospel, we have all those I am statements. I am the light of the world. I am the shepherd. And today we see him saying, I am the resurrection. And I'm going to read from John chapter 11, going into chapter 12. It's quite a long one, but I think it's really good to see the whole passage as a chunk. So if you've got it and you want to look at it, I'm not sure what page it is in the church Bibles, but Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And we haven't actually got to that story yet, so it's interesting the order that that John puts the passages in. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not entered the village yet, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there'll be a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. And when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it, so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will speak to us this morning from your word. Would you make alive to us those parts from this passage that we need to hear? Help us to hear from you, to receive your word, Lord, and burn it deep into our hearts and minds, that we may increase in our love for you. Amen. Thoughts really on the passage. As I said, I've kind of been thinking about the people that Jesus interacted with as he made his journey towards the cross. And this passage, this part of his story, is so important. And I thought about the relationships that he had and why Jesus decided to raise Lazarus. Why Lazarus? Was it favoritism? That he was their friend, because we're told about that friendship. And I was thinking about friendships, I think especially with you know, friends coming yesterday who some of us hadn't seen for a long time. And have you ever had friends who are a bit like an extension of your family, who you know that you could rock up at their house and just go and put the kettle on without any explanation, that you would be made welcome whatever time of the day or night it was, and that you don't have to go to any effort, any airs or graces, and you know that even if you haven't been in touch for a long time, you can just pick up where you left off. And those friendships are really precious, aren't they? And they tend to be few and far between, but the ones that we have are really precious. And I got the impression that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were those kind of friends to Jesus. We don't know exactly how they knew each other or how those relationships had developed, but they were obviously very close friends. And Jesus felt the grief of the sisters as much as he did himself. And the only other occasion that we have met them in the Gospels was when we're told in Luke's Gospel about Jesus visiting their home and where Martha complains because Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet and taking it all in and she's left to do all the housework. I must have been talking too much already. Still croaky. Never mind. It's just, I think that's God saying, don't talk for too long, Joy, isn't it? sorry, lost my place. So yeah, I think they were those sort of friends to Jesus. And so I was thinking about why Jesus raised Lazarus to life, and was he showing favoritism? Was it just because they were friends? And I think there is an element of the answer yes in there. And there were people there who obviously commented, couldn't he have prevented this man from dying? But Jesus wasn't trying to put the sisters through grief. He did all this so that faith in him could be born. So when he first heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus promised that the sickness wouldn't end in death. He didn't say Lazarus wouldn't die, but he promised that death wouldn't be the end and that it would all be for God's glory. And then we're left to kind of hold on to that thought, aren't we? And in the New International Version, it says when Jesus heard, it says Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there for two more days. And we're left thinking, that doesn't make sense. But I'm read this morning that in some translations, the more accurate translation that gives a better sentiment is "and when Jesus stayed, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there for two more days." Now Jesus knew already that even though Lazarus might have been alive when the message was sent, he knew that Lazarus was already dead. We're told that Bethany was a two-day journey from where Jesus was. So Lazarus would still have been dead if he had left exactly at that moment. So that's the first thing to bring into it. He knew that it didn't make any difference. And one of the reasons that he may have left it to make it that it was 4 days before he got there was because the Jewish belief at that time was that the spirit stayed with the body for 4 days, and that it was only after that time that the person was really, really dead, I suppose, that the spirit had left the body. So the people would have known that after that point, there was no hope of him just have being in a deep sleep or deep unconsciousness or anything like that. They would have known that there wasn't really any hope of a resurrection, humanly speaking. So Jesus had good reason to make sure that it was 4 days. And he would have been full aware that in normal circumstances, the body would have started decomposing and smelling rather nasty by that point. But it was all so that faith could be born. It was all so that faith, not just Lazarus, could be resurrected. And we're told that even before he reaches the tomb, Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." And it's suggested that this story about raising Lazarus from the dead was preempting his own death and resurrection, a demonstration of his power. And it was necessary to do that because he knew that there would be doubters of his own resurrection. He needed to show people that he was the Lord, that he was God, before it even got to that point. We had a little leaflet through our door this week from the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I don't know if you've had the same leaflet, but it was for Easter. And come and remember, I think it said remember, not celebrate. Come and remember Jesus' death. And I looked at it and I was like, well, where's the bit about the resurrection? And I need to check out what they actually believe. And I read that they believe in a spiritual resurrection, but they don't believe that Jesus was raised in body from the dead, which all seems a bit of a cop-out to me. And he's either Lord of all or not Lord at all, isn't he? And I thought, how sad. You know, what is Easter if it's not the celebration of Jesus' life, if it's not the celebration of his total and complete victory over death? That really kind of spoke to me as a pertinent thing, and I thought, oh, I kind of hope they come back and knock again because I'd really like to share that hope with them. And their leaflets are very, they've moved on a lot, I think. They used to be quite dated, didn't they? But they've, you know, it's people looking happy and smiley, but if they haven't got that real hope that Jesus has victory over death, then what actual hope do they have? And they claim to know the truth. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. So, yeah, we must pray for them this Easter. So Mary reached the place where Jesus was and fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And I'm told that those words, the deeply moved, there's something, it's not just a movement of compassion, it's not just a joining in sympathy with their grief, but there's an element of anger in that word. And it's the only time in this passage, the two times that it says that Jesus was deeply moved, is the only time in the scriptures where that word was used. And it's an anger against, not just against the mourning and the grief, but it's an anger against death itself. And he came, and obviously he did join in the mourning and in the grief. We're told that the Jews followed Mary as she came to meet Jesus, supposing that she was going to mourn there. So they weren't just tagging along for the spectacle, but it was traditional for the other believers, for the other sharers in the faith to support the person who was mourning. But I think also there's an element of anger from Jesus in the mourning, in the lack of faith. So Jesus demonstrated, and it says Jesus once more deeply moved came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. So it wasn't one of these tombs that had been specially made, because sometimes we know that they were dug out of stone, but this was a natural cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And this time the stone had to be removed by humans. So again, there are similarities to Jesus' own resurrection story, but differences. And Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus thanks God for the fact that he has already heard his prayer, but that this was a demonstration of who he is. And he invites the dead man to come out, and he instructs them to take off the grave clothes. And it's not in the sense that he was constricted by the grave clothes. It was a sense that he was looking after the person who had been dead and raised to life. Just as when he raised the little girl who was ill to life and they said, "Get her something to eat." He's showing that pastoral care for the person who is the subject. It's not all about him. It's about care for that person. And Jesus knew that as a result of this, the irony that as he reveals himself even more to be Lord and God, he puts his own life in greater danger. And we know that after that point, he was in so much danger that he had to withdraw from public life for a while. And this episode in the dinner in his honour, there's a suggestion, because the only other time this passage is mentioned, it's said that he was at Simon the leper's house. So it may have been at Simon the leper's house, but with Mary and Martha there, because we know that Simon lived in Bethany as well. But whoever's house it was, Mary offered this incredible love offering to Jesus. And there's another part of the Bible where Jesus says that the one who's been forgiven much shows their love in a great way. And this was just an incredible act of gratitude and worship to Jesus for what he has done for her family. But it's also very poignant, very pertinent, because Jesus might still have been carrying the fragrance of those perfumes as he approached his own death. It was only 6 days before the Passover, and we know that it was still before the Passover when he was led to his death. And it was burial perfume. We're told the value of the perfume was about a year's wages. It was an expensive perfume called nard, which is made from a plant found in the Himalayas. So it was an incredible journey, an incredible importation, very expensive stuff. and would have cost about a year's wages. And if we think about that in today's terms, that's massive, isn't it? And Judas wasn't bothered about the good work that could have been done with the money, but he had dollar signs in front of his eyes and what he could do with the money. So what's the Holy Spirit saying to us? Go back to his relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. If they hadn't had that relationship, that friendship with him, they wouldn't have known him to call on him. And so many people treat Jesus as someone that they can just call on in times of need. But we need to have that relationship with him. So how's our relationship with him today? Do we have that relationship with him where we are bothered because we're always the one doing all the chores and are not really able to sit back and enjoy just being with him? Mary really knew what it was to worship Jesus, didn't she? She had sat at his feet. She knew the value of his words and the treasure of just being in his presence. Oh, that we would value that treasure of being in his presence. What's our worship like? Our worship reflects our relationship, doesn't it? Well, maybe we're in need of a bit of a resurrection today. Jesus knew that God had already heard his prayer for resurrection, and he has already heard our prayers. He knows what the deepest cries of our heart is. So as we come into celebrating communion together, we've got two worship songs, and let's use them to give our worship to the Lord. But let's also use it to know his power and his presence to meet us where we're at, to know what sort of a resurrection we need. Maybe we just need a good old rest after a busy day yesterday. Maybe we're in need of a touch of his healing and resurrection in our body. But let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's worship, let's receive. So we're going to sing these two songs.